This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Welcome into Long Shots Around the World with Wes Reynolds. I'm Kelly Bidlin. He's Wes Reynolds. Wes, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well, Kelly. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. I know we'll talk about it later when we do our Tour Championship podcast, but how did the BMW treat you?
Split the placement. Small loser for me. Didn't have anybody in the mix there at the end. But I will say, even though I'm not having anybody in the mix, I did enjoy actually watching it because I felt that course. I like that course, Castle Pines. I thought it was, you know, not overly difficult, but it was not easy either. I thought it was a very good test of golf and, you know, nice to see some new faces up there on the leaderboard. Maybe even some of the real power guys like a Scottie Scheffler, who's been amazing this year, struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very rare to see that. So we'll get to it in the Tour Championship pod. But Keegan Bradley gets home.
Keegs.
Your boy. He was 50th. He was on the number to make it into the BMW and then now rises up to fourth.
Yeah.
In the FedEx Cup.
Yeah. Big congratulations to Keegan Bradley, regular listener of this podcast. I'm sure. I can only assume, Wes. I agree with you. I kept thinking all weekend. Small loser for me too. I forget who one of you pushed me over the edge a bit with Fleetwood playing in placements, and that did help. I was pretty heavy on a top 10 on him. I was considering it, then what either you or Matt kind of pushed me over the ledge on him. So that helped. I didn't really make a ton of bets in that tournament. You know, but you know, and part of the reason why, because we don't see that course regularly. But as you talked about, man, and I kind of raged last week on the pod, man, it might not be great for us bettors, but it's nice to see a new course on TV, especially in a beautiful location like that. And kind of mess with people like Scottie Scheffler's head. Clearly, like, you know, the course was getting in the best player in the world's mind a little bit. So like that is. I think that's cool to watch as a golf fan, as a bettor. I think you dial back in those tournaments a little bit more, but I'm with you. I very much enjoyed watching the tournament.
I did too. 12 under par ends up being the winning score. So it wasn't like these guys crushed that course necessarily. So it was a grind. It was a good test of golf.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sure we'll have a little bit more recap once Matt joins us on the Tour Championship podcast. But for now, we're going around the world. So we are going over to the British Masters, the Betfred British Masters. Let me get that right. Where are we playing this at, Wes? I don't even know.
Is this in
England?
Yeah, we are in Warwickshire, England. Betfred British Masters, the Belfry, which is a pretty famous course, held the Ryder Cup many years ago. And I believe this is going to be the fourth year in a row that they are here at the Belfry for the British Masters.
And this is pretty typical, right? This is like the tournament where one of the first tournaments that we kind of get the spill over from, okay, PGA Tour season's kind of done. If you're not in Eastlake ready playing for the Tour Championship and you're European, yeah, you're going to start some of these tournaments. You might start playing here down the stretch of the DP World Tour season. It goes into late November, right?
Yeah. Once we get to the BMW PGA, which is at Wentworth in Surrey, you're going to have a pretty good field. And then you get into the Dunhill Links, which, of course, is at St. Andrews and Carnoustie and Kings Barnes. So you'll get into that. You'll have, I believe, the Open de France. So you will have, and they end in Dubai over in November for the race to Dubai, the DP World Tour Championship. And then plus, no Ryder Cup year this year for some of these European players. So they might be a little bit more active because it is a President's Cup year with USA against the International up in Royal Montreal late in September. But yeah, you're going to see, you might see some guys trickle over a bit. Maybe Rory's just going to be done for the year and, you know, try to recharge.
Take some time off, Rory.
Yeah, but he might end up playing. I think he'll probably play the Dunhill Links. So you will have some of these guys, the Rorys and the Tommy Fleetwoods and the Victor Hovlands and Matt Fitzpatrick's. They'll probably play at least a couple events in the fall because it's like, well, I don't want to be off until January necessarily, so I got to keep myself sharp. So they'll play sporadically here on the DP.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's smart. I think it's smart. I think you and I are, you know, usually carry long shots through the fall season as well. We've done that the past couple of years, and I think it's I think for these guys to play one or two times in the fall is always good. It just depends who you are, I guess. Depends who you are, because I do think, and now your season's gone, because I think if you're someone with the status of Rory McIlroy, with how good of a player he is and always is, but then, you know, kind of how he stumbled down the stretch of the season, like, man, I feel like he needs to take a long vacation and come back strong next year in Hawaii. That's right. All I'd be focusing on. I bring up the big names, though, because we do, as I move over to the odds board, there is one that will jump out to everybody right off the top. Tyrrell Hatton in this field this week for the British Masters. He is your short shot at plus 650. Matt Wallace, 20-1. Matt Wallace, man, for what is this, like the second year in a row? Has he been kind of split half and half DP World Tour and PGA West, right?
Basically, like he has his playing privileges for next year, but he didn't make it and really advance through the FedEx Cup. So that's why you're seeing Wallace over here, and you're starting to see a few of those PGA Tour guys, because the fall season, I think, for the PGA Tour doesn't start for, like, I want to say 2 weeks.
I think it's
Once you get into that FedEx Cup fall, and you have fall, and you have Napa, and you have the Sanderson Farms and the event out here in Vegas at TPC Summerlin. So yeah, Matt Wallace did not make it into the top 70. His last event was the Wyndham, where he's T28, but you know, I think his points were fine. So he's in the 125. He can improve it in the fall, probably because he's an Englishman. You're seeing him play in this event because these events were probably bigger to some of these guys. That's why I think you have Tyrrell Hatton here this week, because Liv, I think, has their final tour championship in a couple weeks, I believe, in Chicago. So he's had a week off. So he is going to be the headliner this week.
Him plus 650, Matt Wallace 20-1, Tom McKibben 22-1, Rasmus Højgaard 22-1, everybody else 25-1 or longer on the board. Wes, give us a little bit of a course preview. What should we expect to see this week? Any important, kind of stats or anything game-wise that you kind of really landed on for people handicapping at home?
Yeah, this is called the Brabazon course at the Belfry. There are several different courses. It's a resort, has won awards for the world's best golf hotel. It's hosted 4 Ryder Cups. So a lot of history with this course. People that are regular watchers of the European/DP World Tour, I think, will be very familiar here. Water's in play on half the holes, par 72, 73, 36. 12 par fours instead of a typical 10, which means they're just 3 par threes and 3 par fives. Slowish greens, which you would expect, and bent POA about 10 to 10 and a half on the stint meter. Fairways are a little bit narrower than average, so I think accuracy a little bit more important this week. Greens and regulation certainly important in any of the ball striking approach and whatnot. In terms of the recent winners, we've had a couple of Daniel Hillier from New Zealand won here last year at 90-1. He's about 120-1 this week. Chorborn Olesen, that was kind of his comeback to golf relevancy after he had those legal issues. And then Richard Bland, this revitalized his career. Remember, this was his first DP World Tour win in his late 40s, and now has been fairly successful on LIV, has won a couple Champions Tour majors this year now that he's turned 50. So this kind of like revitalized his career late in the stage. Very good course. The winning scores here last year, 3 years, I believe, have been 10 under, 10 under, and 13 under. So, you know, this is not exactly a birdie fest or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Richard Bland, what a story. You're right. Like, that is... It's kind of cool to be able to do that late in your career.
To be a journeyman, go like 500 starts before you win your first DP World Tour event. And now it's like, I'm playing the best golf of my life at 50.
Right, yeah, and being able to grab some of that LIV money and then, get over to the Champions Tour, play a little softer field than usual. Yeah, good for him. I feel like those stories were more common like in the 90s and like early 2000s. It's just you don't see it as much anymore because these guys are so dominant from, you know, about 14 years old on that we see on the PGA Tour every single week. All right, cool. So great. As always, Wes is right up on this tournament, Tour Championship, VSiN.com. Make sure to check that out. Where did you land 4 bets for this week, my friend?
Yeah, I went kind of mid-range hunting here. I think certainly you can make a case for some of the shorter guys, especially Wallace. Kirsten Lawrence, by the way, won in South Africa last week on the Sunshine Tour. The winner last week, though, in Denmark was Frederick Lacroix at 33-1. So you've had 2 Frenchmen win in a row. So I don't think it's going to be 3 for 3. I don't think I have a Frenchman on the card. I have mostly Englishmen, and one that I have is Andy Sullivan at 40-1. Top 10 here at the Belfry in 2 of his last 4 years, top 15 in 3 of the last 4. Runner-up 3 weeks ago at the Asian Tour International Series event at Fox Hills Golf Club in Surrey. So certainly a guy that's very familiar with this course. Yannick Paul also has good form on this course. The German, 45-1, third here in 2021, eighth year last year, 6 in greens in regulation. I think ball strikers tend to fare very well here. So Yannick Paul, 45-1. And then a guy that hadn't played a lot of DP World Tour golf, even though he's an Englishman, he's been mostly on the PGA Tour. I went with Harry Hall at 60-1. Harry Hall, by the way, a winner on the PGA Tour earlier this year. He won that ISCO in Kentucky, which used to be commonly known as the Barbasol Championship. Really good around the green, can kind of hit it a little bit all over the place, to be honest with you, but second in strokes gained around the green, could be a drop in class. Look, he's been playing against these PGA Tour guys all year, so now you got kind of a spread out field a little bit, not a lot of elite company at the top here in this week's field. So Harry Hall, I think, maybe could go well here in surprise, 60-1. Callum Hill, 66-1. Runner-up earlier this summer at the Scandinavian Mix. That's his only top 10 this year, so the incoming form, not great. Plus, he hasn't played since about early mid-July at the Scottish Open, but if you look at the course history, which is what I'm kind of banking on here at a lengthier price, 4th, 8th, and 9th last 3 times here at the Belfry, so maybe a horse for the course. I would take a shot with Callum Hill. A couple guys I played last week, actually, that played pretty decently, even though they weren't right there for the win at the end. Shubhankar Sharma, 66-1, ended up 14th last week, but he's made 10 cuts in a row, 5th at the Italian Open, top 20 at the Open at Royal Troon, 9th in putting, so I think he'll like these slow greens. And then I'm going to keep playing this.
You've played him a fair amount, right?
Yeah, but a guy I played a little bit more, I'm going to keep playing this guy because I feel like I'm going to miss out. It's that FOMO type deal. Our buddy Joe Dean at 70-1. Yeah. 5th in Denmark last week, 4th top 5 of the season. You're starting to see him a little bit more on these DP leaderboards. And of course, we chronicled the story on this pod that he was a delivery driver for the grocery chain Morrison's to kind of supplement his travel expenses. Because when you're on the DP World Tour, it's a lot different where it's like you're not only in Europe, but you're also in Africa, but you're also in Asia, and you're in the Middle East. You're all over the place. So these are pricey flights if you're traveling on the DP World Tour, and he needed to supplement his money but had so many good finishes early this year. So now he could quit that and be a full-time pro tour player. 6th in putting on the DP World Tour, and just a guy I think that could fit here. I mean, I really couldn't get there with some of the shorter guys. I considered Thorbjørn Olesen because he won here a couple years ago. Didn't play that great in Denmark, though, last week. I think he was like 43rd or something like that. So I took a pass on Olesen. Also looked at Lauri Kanter a little bit, who finally got his first DP World Tour win earlier in the season. But a lot of kind of like the middling players this week. You know, you're not really getting a ton of the elite Europeans, I think, in this field, except for Tyrrell Hatton.
I like it. Just reminder, I was just checking out the ISCO website because I was like, is that the one that was did the massive industrial piping? Yes, it was. Yeah, it was just an annoying switch from the classic Barbasol that we all know and love. Industrial piping. I don't know how you really market that, but okay. All right, so run through all the outrights one more time. Everything you got, Wes?
Yeah, we'll go Andy Sullivan, 40-1. Yannick Paul, 45-1. Harry Hall, 60-1. Callum Hill, 66-1. Shubhankar Sharma, 66-1. And Joe Dean, 70-1.
I like it. I think I'm going to tell you on Harry Hall this week. I think that's a sound reasoning on him coming over. Yeah, like you said,
I need to get back on him too, because I had a hedge piece that tournament, but I had two guys in the playoff that were pre-tournament guys that were not Harry Hall that that beat me. So maybe Harry owes me one this week.
That's right. Well, he listens to the pod all the time too. So
of course, Harry, he's good looking out. Good looking out, yes.
That's right. All right, great. Again, get everything right up. Wes is right up at VSiN.com. All his plays at VSiN.com as well. Of course, Matt, Wes, and myself will have all of our bets from the Tour Championship up at VSiN.com. For now, he's Wes. I'm Kelly. We'll catch you later on the Tour Championship podcast.